Please open your Bibles to the book of Romans, the fifth chapter. Romans chapter 5 in your Schofield Bible, page 1197. Beginning with the 15th verse, we will read responsively through verse 21, or to the end of the chapter. The 20th verse is the text verse for this evening's message. Romans chapter 5, verses 15 through 21, page 1197. Let's stand, please. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And let's finish on the 21st together. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Thanks, dear Lord, for the gift of eternal life through faith in Jesus. Thank you that this is what keeps us going, the assurance that we're yours forever and ever. Thank you for the message tonight. There's something here that we need. There's something here that will feed us, something that will challenge us, something that will help keep us going. So we, of course, would be very wise to listen and to get what we're here for. Help our preacher, grant him thy power and blessing for the message and for being understood by us. Dear Holy Spirit, meet with us in power in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let me read for you one verse. You need not turn to it. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. There are 1,000 truths there in that one little line. There are a dozen sermons I could preach on it. I shall approach it tonight from one particular angle. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Our Heavenly Father, I wish I had the tongues of angels. I wish I had heaven's vocabulary. I wish I could speak like Apollos. I wish I could understand like the Apostle Paul. I wish I could do justice to this book. I wish I could have my glorified body for about the next 30 minutes or so. I sure would like to take this truth and do it right. But I'll do the best I can with this glass darkly that limits me, called a body. I pray you'd speak to our hearts. May we rejoice in what we possess in Christ. Amen. The other day I was reading, just reading the Bible for spiritual strength, and I was in the first three chapters of Genesis. I read the first three chapters of Genesis, and I decided to go over Revelation chapters 21 and 22, and I compared the two. If you ever want to have a blessing, just read the first three chapters of Genesis and find out what the Garden of Eden was like. And then read Revelation 21 and 22 and find out what heaven is like. You see, if Adam had never sinned, and when I got to reading the last verse, I probably shouldn't say this, but I got to reading the last verse in Revelation 22 and realized that we have been saved to so much more than we were saved from. I said, attaboy, Adam. I thanked him for sinning, because if he hadn't sinned, we would not have near what we have now. And I those are the very words I said, attaboy, Adam. So I want to speak tonight on the subject, we have a lot better deal than we had. We have a lot better deal than we had. Tonight, I'd like for you to take a little drive with me. We'll board a chariot, and we'll drive down golden streets. As we do, we'll drive along with the river of life, and we will also sit beneath the shade of the tree of life while munching on its fruit. You must listen carefully as I talk, because the shouts of praise will drown my voice out. And if I could, I'd talk louder. But the shouts of praise in the heavenly city will be so loud that you'll have to listen carefully to understand exactly what I'm saying. Now, you must fight to pay attention, because you'll be tempted just to gaze at Jesus all the time we're here. You will be diverted often as you become aware of what isn't here. And as I try to teach you something about what's here, you'll be so amazed at what you don't see that you may not listen as carefully as you should. You'll notice, I'm sure, that there are no cemeteries here. There are no tombstones silhouetting space. You'll notice that no hearses are pulling traffic over to the side as they lead the processional to a cemetery. You'll notice there are no graves. You'll notice there are no funeral homes. I preached one time on there are no undertakers, and one of our men's an undertaker, and he got upset with me, not just sort of kiddingly. He said, I want to go to heaven. Well, you may go to heaven if you're an undertaker, but you'll change professions when you get there. Either that or you'll starve to death, one or the other. And as we ride in our little carriage ride or chariot ride down golden streets by the river of life, beneath the shade of the tree of life, you will also be diverted, because you'll notice there are no movie houses there. And probably no movie stars. I'm talking about R-rated, X-rated, PG-rated, or G-rated, or Mickey Mouse-rated. You will likewise notice as we drive, and it may be that you'll not listen carefully to what I say because of what you see or what you don't see. You'll notice, of course, there are no taverns there. There'll be no liquor ads as you drive down the highways. And as you open the newspapers and magazines, you'll not see any cigarette ads. You'll notice that when you go to a Christian bookstore, there's only a King James Bible for sale. Be no NIV. There'll be no New King James. Be no New Scofield, be no American Standard Version, 1903 or 1308. There'll be no Douay Version, be no Moffat's Version. As we discuss what we want to direct, to which we want to direct your attention tonight, you'll be diverted again and again, because you'll find no liberal churches or liberal preachers. And you'll be relieved to know that the local ministerial association is only independent fundamental Baptist preachers. You'll also notice that there are no nightclubs, no Playboy magazines, no hospitals. Doctors will have to change their profession, and so will nurses. You'll have a hard time paying attention to me as I talk to you about our subject tonight, because as we continue our drive down the golden streets after having driven through the gates of pearl on foundations of 12 precious stones. You'll notice that there are no policemen. We can go as fast as we want to go. And you lawbreakers will be law keepers then, regardless of your speed. You'll notice also there'll be no firemen. There'll be no soldiers. And certainly no sailors will be there. I can prove it, because Revelation says that there will be no more sea. The only boat you can be on is the boat you play with in the bathtub. There'll be no liquor stores, and you won't have to stumble over whiskey to buy your potatoes and beans and groceries. Now, will you have to stumble over birth control devices to get your prescription filled? Nor will you have to look at the trash of a filthy magazine to buy a newspaper. You'll be diverted from our conversation quite a bit because there'll be no ambulances and no apothecaries or drugstores. Now, we need not hurry in our journey because time is constantly replenished and darkness will never come. And you may want to stop occasionally and play with a serpent along the way. They'll beg you to play with them and they'll not be poisonous. And even Brother Hiles will love snakes. The crawling kind, that is. And you may want to take a ride on an amusement park on a lion or a tiger. But for today, I'd like to point out one blessed thing about heaven as compared to the Garden of Eden. You see, we were here as a human race in the Garden of Eden. We fell to here because of sin. Here we were, we fell to here. By redemption, we are raised to here. Where grace, where sin did abound, grace does much more abound. I want to show you what a good deal we have, far better than the one we had before we sinned. Now, you'll find several headings, and I won't have these as an outline, but you'll find several statements that could summarize all I'm going to say. First is, we are more now than we were before we sinned. Second, we have more now than we had before the fall of man. Third, we know more now than we knew before the fall of man. And fourth, we found more than we lost. I said a while ago, I almost want to thank Adam for his transgression. Except for this little hiatus between eternities, and this little intermission between eternity past and eternity future, we're in a far better position now than we were in the Garden of Eden. You see, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam sinned, there are three things that were in the curse that fell. One, our spirits fell. We died spiritually. Two, our bodies fell. Woman now gives birth in travail. Man makes a living by the sweat of his brow. We suffer, we hurt, we pain, and we die. The third thing that fell in the Garden of Eden, beside the spirit of man, the body of man, was the earth on which we live. This whole creation in the Garden of Eden, for example, there were no leaves that fell in autumn time. In the Garden of Eden, there was no hissing serpent with deadly venom. In the Garden of Eden, there was no deadly tarantula crawling with death in its sting. In the Garden of Eden, there was no cactus and there was no poison in the Garden of Eden, the earth was not fallen. But when Adam sinned, he took down more than himself. And by the way, when you go into sin, you always take down more than yourself. He took down more than himself. He took, his spirit died, his body died, death came upon his spirit and his body, and death came upon the earth that he inhabited. But all were purchased back on Calvary. But they were more than purchased back on Calvary. When Jesus died on the cross, he died to redeem my spirit and take it back where it was before it died. And you, says the epistle, hath he quickened who were dead in your trespasses and in your sins. So Jesus died on the cross to redeem my spirit. When I got saved, 55 years ago this August, when I got saved, my spirit that was dead came alive. And as I said in my Sunday school lesson this morning, till you get that spirit alive, you can't go to heaven because there's nothing you have that can live forever. Your body will not live forever. Your body will die. Your soul will not live forever. Your soul will die. You have your 70 and 10, or your 10, or your 70, or 80, whatever God gives you between the first breath and the last. You have that much time to receive Christ and get your spirit back alive again. But Jesus paid the penalty so you could get your spirit back alive. So by faith, you could get born again. That isn't all. He died on the cross not only to redeem your spirit or buy back or purchase back your spirit, he died to purchase back your body. As the writer said, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. Then one of those stanzas says, till from thy Pisgah's lofty height, I view my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. These eyes that wear glasses now will not need glasses in the glorified body. These ears that falter in their hearing now as I get older will no longer falter in their hearing in my glorified body. These shoulders that droop because of age and toil will no longer droop because I'll be in my glorified body. These feet that take unsure steps sometimes and get weary will no longer take unsure steps and no longer get weary. And these hands that sometimes tremble in palsy will no longer do so. And this brow that furrows with years and this face that wrinkles with years will no longer do so, because Jesus died on the cross not only to redeem my spirit and bring it back alive if I trust him, but also if I trust him, he died to give me a new body someday and redeem my body from the curse of death and pain and sorrow and suffering. But he also died to redeem the earth. He died to bring the earth back where it was. He died to remove the venom from serpents. He died to remove the poison from the tarantula. He died to remove the thorn from the rose. He died to remove the wilting from the flower. He died to remove the deadening of the autumn leaf. He died to warm the chilling winds of winter and cool the hot winds of summer. Jesus died, ladies and gentlemen. One of these days when I can learn enough about the Bible, I'm going to preach a series of sermons on what happened at Calvary. So much more happened than him just dying for us and paying the penalty for our sin to take us to heaven. Jesus died to buy back everything that was lost in the Garden of Eden. But where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And not only did Jesus die to take us back where we were spiritually, physically, and as far as the material earth is concerned, but he died to more than purchase each one. My spirit was redeemed 55 years ago this August. My body will be redeemed when Jesus comes again in the clouds of glory. And this earth will be redeemed at his second coming to the earth when he establishes his kingdom on earth. But in each case, my spirit, my body, and my earth, Jesus died to more than redeem what I lost. For example, in the Garden of Eden, when sin came in the Garden of Eden, my spirit died. But when I got saved, my spirit came alive,
But he did more than that. His Spirit came in to me. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. But that isn't all. When man sinned, we fell from a body of innocent, a body that could sin but could not sin depending upon our choosing. But not only did he redeem us to get the same body back we got in the Garden of Eden, but glory to his name, he redeemed us where sin did abound, grace did much more abound, and not only did he buy back the body we had, but he bought for us a body just like the body of Jesus Christ. And not only did Jesus come back to purchase what was lost at the fall on earth, which at the millennium will be like the Garden of Eden was, in the millennial reign of Christ for 1,000 years, we shall rule and reign in Edenic bliss. And yet Jesus bought more than that. He said, where sin did abound, grace doth much more abound. And I'm going to not only die to purchase the earth back like it was, but I'm going to go ahead and purchase your home in heaven far greater than the earth was in the Garden of Eden. Now, we had, before the fall, earth. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound, and now we go to heaven when we die. We had an earth that had a sea, because the Bible says he divided the waters beneath, the waters above, and then let dry land appear. But in the place to which he saves us, in heaven, where grace is much more abound, there's no more sea. In the first place of innocence in the Garden of Eden, we fell from an earth that had darkness. Because the Bible says, he made the great light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and he made the stars also. But where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. He saved us from an earth with some darkness. He's saving us to a heaven where there is no darkness. He saved us from a world to which Satan had access. Before Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, Satan came. He was there in the Garden of Eden. How he got there is another Bible study, but he was there in the Garden of Eden. Jesus, in the fall, we fell from a place where no sin was at first, but where Satan was. But where grace did abound, sin did abound, grace doth much more abound, and he's going to take us to a place where the devil will never be. We had before a sinless body. We will have then a perfect body. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. We had then a body like man, sinless man, a man that was innocent, a man that didn't have to sin, a man that had a choice to sin or not to sin. From that we fell. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound, and praise God, we were saved back to someday having a body just like the body of Jesus. He was then with us. Sin did abound, and grace did much more abound. Instead of his being with us in our new relationship, he is now in us. Praise his holy name. We once, and I love this point, and I may just hang around here for a few hours. We once had created joy. We now have redeemed joy. Did you know there's not one single statement in the first 3 chapters of Genesis about man praising God? Not one. Because an unredeemed man doesn't know how wonderful it is to be redeemed. A man who's ever fallen knows nothing about how wonderful it is to be lifted. Holy, holy is what the angels sing. And I expect to help them make the chords of heaven ring. But when we sing redemption story, angels fold their wings. For angels never felt the joy that our salvation brings. You see, the joy that Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden was a joy that had never been lost. People, you often say, you don't appreciate what you have till you lose it. But if you can get it back, then you appreciate it. Well, praise God, Adam and Eve had it, but they didn't appreciate it because they'd never been without it. And now they've been without it because of sin. And God, through Jesus, came to earth and lived a perfect life and fulfilled the law and went to Calvary and paid the price for our sin and rose again after 72 hours for our justification. And now says, if you put your trust and faith in me, not join the church, not get baptized, not confess your sin to a papa, not take communion, not get baptized, not turn over any life, but new leaf, but trust me as your Savior, God said, then you will be redeemed. And redeemed people know what it's like to be lost. And that's why we praise Him when Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden did not praise Him. We had in the Garden of Eden our own righteousness. Adam and Eve had their own righteousness. They did not sin at first. But where grace did abound, or sin did abound, grace did much more abound. God not only saved us back to our own righteousness, but He saved us back to His own righteousness. Adam and Eve were clothed in their own righteousness. I'm clothed in His righteousness. When God looked down and saw Adam and Eve, He saw a perfect, an innocent man. When God looks down and sees me, He sees Jesus Christ. When God looked at Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, hallelujah, He saw Adam's goodness. When God looks at me, He sees Jesus' goodness. I say, we were here, and sin did abound, but grace did much more abound, and we are saved farther than we had before man fell in the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, we were His by race. Now we're His by grace. In the Garden of Eden, we were a little lower than the angels. And now we'll be forever above the angels. And they'll be our servants forever. In the Garden of Eden, we walked in earthly places. And now as God's people, we walk in heavenly places. Boy, I'd like to reach out and take every one of you and shake you right now. I'd like to just tell you for a while what we have in Christ. You read that chapter we studied this morning in Ephesians chapter number 2. Said, we once were dead in trespasses and sins. Bless God, we've been quickened, revived. We live. Christ lives in us. And it says, in times past, we walked according to the conversation of the desires of the flesh and the lust of the flesh. But now we have been raised to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that He may show the exceeding riches of His grace to us in eternity. Well, how you get there? You get there by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm saying every once in a while, you ought to just stand up and look where Adam was, and look where you were after your sin, and look where you are right now, and just have a spell and say, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. What we had in Eden, Jesus came to buy back our fallen spirit, to buy back our fallen body, to buy back our fallen earth. But more than that, He came to give us His spirit. He came to give us a body like His body. And He came to give us an earth where man can no longer sin. We could lose what we had in the Garden of Eden, as we did. But praise God, what we have now we can't lose. Because Adam's innocence in the Garden of Eden was caused because by his life. But our perfection in heaven is caused by his life. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. We had oneness with him in the Garden of Eden. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And now we are one in him. Even though you are possessed with a fleshly body, you have something Adam and Eve didn't have in the Garden of Eden before they sinned. And you haven't begun to get all that's yours yet. You wait till the will is opened. You wait till the executor of the will tells us what we really have. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. This is just a foretaste of glory divine. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. That's now. Heaven comes down now and glory fills my soul. That's when heaven comes to me. You wait till I go there. I'm saying praise his wonderful name. I'm saying that Jesus not only died on Calvary to take us back where we were, but to lift us higher than we were, and to redeem our spirit back where it was, but give us his spirit above where we were, and give us a body back where it was, but a body like his above where it was, and to give us an earth back like it was, but to give us a heaven above where we were. Why don't you shout? Why don't you have a spell? Why don't you say glory to God? I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Think about Adam and Eve for a while. Think about Adam and Eve then and now. Suppose they had not sinned, they'd still be living in the Garden of Eden. Now, where are they now? They're in heaven. I bet you Adam is saying, hot dog, I'm glad I sinned. He may not be saying hot dog, he may be saying praise the Lord. Or maybe even praise the devil, he's the guy who calls me to sin. Now, don't you get out of here and teach about this, about how teaching false doctrine. I don't know whether I am or not, but I know I'm having fun. Tonight, Adam, but it's not tonight there. Tonight, Adam is in heaven. Had he not sinned, he'd still be on earth. If Adam had never sinned, tonight he'd be in sunlight by day and in darkness by night. But as a redeemed person, Adam is in heaven now, where there's no sun, no moon, no stars. The Bible says Jesus is the light of the city. Think about that for a minute. Here's the city, 1,500 miles long. That's about as far as it is from Boston, Massachusetts to Miami, Florida. 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles high, and it doesn't even have a light bulb. You don't need a light bulb. Because, brother, where Jesus is, you can just pretty well light up, you can light up the whole thing. The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin, but the light of the world is Jesus. Like sunrise at noonday, his glory came in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light that is shining for thee. This is the light that dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. And where Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, nighttime came and darkness came and the moon came out and the stars came out. But now that they're in heaven, the Lamb is the light in the city of gold. If Adam and Eve had not sinned, they would still be pestered by the booger man. He'd still be there. Eve? God had not. He'd still be. He'd have more versions out in the Garden of Eden than he has out now. He has all of them are his except the one I hold right here in my hand. But I mean, if Adam and Eve were still in the Garden of Eden, had never sinned, they would never have been redeemed, and Satan would still have access to them in the Garden of Eden. But where they are tonight, listen to me, young ladies. Young ladies, listen to me. Hey, I'm preaching to you, young ladies. Where they are tonight, Lucifer can't even get entrance. If Adam and Eve had never sinned, they would have had darkness. They have no darkness where they are. Yet they still would have the capacity to sin because they had that capacity in the Garden of Eden. Where they are now, they couldn't sin if they wanted to, and they don't want to if they could, because they have only the nature of God. Their physical nature is gone. They have no temptation. They have no weakness of the flesh. They have no enemies of the world, the flesh, and the devil. I'm simply saying, God looked down and said, I put you here, and you couldn't live there. I'm going to make you a lot better place now. And if Adam and Eve had never sinned, they'd never been in heaven where sin cannot enter. They would constantly be tempted, but no longer. If Adam and Eve had not sinned, they'd meet God every day. Because they did sin and were redeemed, they see Jesus perennially and never have to take their eyes off of him. If Adam and Eve had still been in the Garden of Eden and had not sinned, they would not be living where the throne of God is, because the throne of God is not on earth. But now they're living where there's the throne of God? Right now. Hey, get this. This beats the Garden of Eden a heap. I mean, now then, they're in heaven where they can see anytime they want to the throne of God. And God on His throne. And Jesus sitting on His right hand. And the blood of Jesus on the mercy seat. If Adam and Eve had never sinned, they'd be in the Garden of Eden where the father of lies had access. And now they're in a place where there are no liars or defilers. If Adam and Eve had not sinned, they could still have chosen to die. But they can no longer choose to die. If Adam and Eve had not sinned, they'd be living on earth that has the capacity of passing away. But the place where they live now shall never pass away. The heaven shall pass away. The planetary system, that is, shall pass away. The stars, the moon, the sun shall pass away. But the holy city being prepared now for God's people, where my mama is, where Dr. Rice is, where your loved ones are who are saved, it'll never, 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 never pass away. I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, we got more than we had. We found more than we lost. Now, how in the world can you reject that kind of a salvation? How in the world can you not fall at the feet of Jesus and say, Jesus, I can no longer say no. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost. I know I'm going to hell. But I know that everything I lost in the fall of man, I gained at Calvary. But more than that, I more than gained at Calvary. Because where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And on Calvary, Jesus bought back more than I lost when I sinned. And on Calvary, everything was purchased that was lost in Eden, plus more. I'm simply saying, glory to God, where sin did abound, grace doth much more abound. How can you reject that kind of a salvation? And then not only that, how can those of us who are saved not give Him I all? What's wrong with rock music? It's from hell. That's what's wrong with it. But if it's not from hell, it's dead sure not in heaven. Hey, do you expect Madonna to be singing her garbage in heaven? Hey, you little penny-ante Christians, pusillanimous Christians, backslidden Christians, that play your rock music. When you get to heaven, if you see Madonna there, are you going to be surprised? Yes, you are. And by the way, if she sees you there, she'll be surprised too. Brother, we're supposed to do more than give up the hellish. We're supposed to take up the heavenish. What's wrong with rock music? Well, what's right with it? What's wrong with soap operas? What are right with them? What's wrong with the Bible magazine? What's right with it? There's something there's a right with right there. The salvation I possess tonight is so wonderful, so marvelous, and so much more than God had to do. He chose to take me higher than I was before I fell. The other day I was watching a kid with a little rubber ball. I was preaching out in California. This little kid's on the sidewalk. He took that little ball, and this is a corny illustration, but it's where I got the idea for this sermon. So it was a good illustration. He took that rubber ball, and he threw it on a sidewalk. And it bounced up so high he couldn't reach up and get it. And I said, that's exactly it. When man fell in the Garden of Eden, he fell so hard, and Jesus loved him so much, He made it possible for him to bounce higher than he was before he fell. Where sin did abound, praise God, grace doth much more abound. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful, 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 wonderful Bible and this wonderful salvation. I pray tonight that some shall say, yes, I'll accept it. I'll trust Jesus now. And I pray the rest of us shall say, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, and my all. Our heads are bowed.